Okay, we'll just have to review this pad a little bit, so we know what we're talking about over here, okay? So, it's really, the story began all the way back on Kufa Manala. Just to review very quickly what we were talking about. So we had Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara said, it says, Chomashka, there was a Ribway that told us that even fruit juices would become a tumor. The Rabbanan says, Asha Yishasa, which means it's usual to drink. So they didn't agree. So they felt that normally the only ones that are usually drunk are wine and oil. The rest, not, and it's not included. Gemara tried to say, Rabbi Eliezer held like Rabbi Shmuel, who darshan prat to klal, everything is b'chlal. Gemara asked if that exceeded Rabbi Shmuel's structure, because there was this additional prat of Chomashka. Of what was the additional prat again? It was
Asher Yishasa.
Asher Yishasa. Very good. Thank you. Asher Yishasa. And the Gemara said that was not going to be used. The answer to that question was that was going to be used to tell me that Mashke Saruach was not going to be Makabel Tumah. Okay? So therefore, since it was used for a separate drasha, so therefore, you were left with just Pratu Klal. Okay, so the Rabbanan held not like that. They held you had a Pratu Klal. Everything is included. Anyway, that's the Machlokas. Yeah. Then the Gemara said, let's see. Then the Gemara said, Rab Prigori, the Kesvin said, just like you held Asher Yoachal as Prat Leichel Sarok, so too, Asher Yishasa is Prat Lemashka Sarok. That's what I just said. And the Gemara said, no, it's not the same. It's not, the Gemara said, it's not Daim. Why? Eichel and Mashkin have two different ruling structures, where Eichel Sarok Meikaro is Tahar, Mashkin Meikaro is not Tahar. Another issue is whether you need machshava when it comes to Eichlin. It does not need machshava when it comes to Mashkin. It does need machshava. That's where we ended off. Now we start on a kafal and aleph.
Before we do that,
yeah,
we should go with the dova acha, because kafal is going to refer to this.
Yeah. Well, I just spoke it out, but okay. We could start from there inside. No problem. No, not a problem at all. So we'll do inside from kafal from the base, a dova acha. Okay.
Yes.
By request, and we're happy to.
Four lines up.
Thank you.
We're happy to do the request. The Gemara says, "Dabar Acher, loy ima matav ba'eichlin shekein eichlin mikam la'adam in shechem machshava. By eichlin, they don't need machshava to become kabel tova. To have a mashkin, but my mashkin, it says, what is it? Yutan has to be lotzaynai. Mashkin have to be have mikam la'adam shechem machshava. They have to have a machshava. So since there's no comparison between food and beverages, so therefore you can't learn from one from the other.
Food is
more chashav. All the Gemara at this point seems to be saying is that there's a chiluk. There's a different. There's this chiluk. So if there's a chiluk, you can't learn one from the other. So therefore, you can't have a response to Rabbanan, just like you hold Eichel Sarok, so too Mashkel Sarok. What do you mean? They're two different types of animals, so to speak. And A pointed out, as you recall, that we have here two tainas. One is where Eichlin are Lakula, and one where Eichlin are Lachumra. So Lachumra is that they don't need Machshava. Lakula is that they're Sarach, that they're not going to be Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara seems to be going back and forth here, not really explaining. That's going to be the basis of the next question is going to get us more in tune with this last drasha. So the Gemara continues on Kuf Aleph. Mneisha tricha machshava yehi mashka saruach meikorei tomei. Just because it needs a machshava, so that's a svara why it's tomei. However, hein tricha machshava yehi mashka saruach meikorei tahar. In other words, the fact that you need machshava, that's kind of like going back to the first taina. You said that Mashka Suroch Meikoro is Tomei, so then Mashka Suroch Meikoro should be Tahar, because if you have this more requirements, right? If you have more requirements over Ochlin, if Ochlin you don't need Makshava and it becomes Tamei, so then Tzeruach Meikoro by Mashkin, where you need a Makshava, should surely be Tahar. Well, you make a Kavu Chaimer, right? You hear the Kavu Chaimer? Ma'adoch if Ochlin, which are Tzeruach Meikoro, are Tahar, right? Don't need a Makshava to become Tamei. I'll say it the other way. Ma'adoch if Ochlin, which don't need a Makshava to become Tamei. If Tzeruach Meikoro is Tahar, so Mashkin, which require a Makshava to become Tamei, Koshikain, that Tzeruach Meikoro should be Tahar. That's a better way to say it.
You might
want to
read number one.
That's like Vermeza. You know, that's like, you know, you tell a guy, you know, it's like, you might want to turn the light off because it's dark in here. Okay, I'll see what it says.
Let's read it.
The Gemara claimed the fact that beverages require specific intent in order because something to them is reason the subject is thrown even after becoming spoiled. This requirement represents a leniency in the law of beverages. It's illogical to suggest because the law of beverages is lenient in this regard, it should be stringent in another regard as far as spoiled beverage being subject to tumah. If anything contrary is true, that's what we spoke out. That's exactly what I said.
Correct.
Okay. Dover Acher, the Gemara changes it. They said something else to Rav Lazar. This is what they said. Like, in my mind, the Eichel Shekin Eichel Behema Lo Adam Einam Bar Mimachshav. Food that if you have animal food. So if you just have intent to, instead of it being just for the animals, I'm going to feed it to people, just having an intent, just to have a machshava, is not maila it. In other words, animal food won't be makabal tumma. But to be maila, to become makabal tumma, for a person, you'd have to have a maisa, I guess. Time of a mashken, shekein mashken behema lo adam bar b'machshava. But when it comes to drinks, it's not the case. Just the machshava is enough. So, spoiled beverages, unlike spoiled food, are not excluded from the law of tumah. Now, here we're showing a chumrah. What we've done is we've brought up a new chumrah in mashkin. Mashkin have this chumrah that if it was mashke behema, I could be malalai de machshava to become oichel adam, and then it could become tumah. The Gemara cites a brisa supports his explanation. The brisa says explicitly what he said. Tani Kain, this is the brisa. Kol mashka, this is the drush we said before. You have this reboy of kol mashka, which includes all mashka, even fruit juices. Matam lemar asher yishaseh. So what is the final prat? What is that coming to tell me? Prat lamashka sarach. That tells me that if it's a spoiled beverage, that it is excluded. Which is exactly what we said before. Don't remember what else. And Amrulai, so the Chacham disagreed. Amrulai, they said, no. Ein mashken yoytzin, lo yidei ofos, v'lo yidei par. That means beverages never become unfit for drinking because birds and cows will drink anything. So it doesn't make a difference. They're never excluded from the laws of Tumah. Hmm. Now, over here he has, in the footnote, interesting thing about...
Seven
in the second paragraph. He says, the circumstances of the dispute are not entirely clear. According to one view, the dispute is about beverages have not yet become tamei, so they're disagreeing whether the decay of the beverage prevents it from being able to acquire tumah. Okay? So according to Abelazar, once it decays to the point that it's not roi lachilas adam, it can't become tamei. According to the Chacham, it's still susceptible to tumah unless it's not roi lachilas kelef. That's one sheet, as long as it's arrived. Another view is what? Rav Elazar and the sages dispute a case where it has already become Tomei. And the issue is not whether it can be Makabal Tomei. The issue is when does it lose the Tomei? According to Rav Elazar, once it decays to the point that it's unfit for Adam, that's the end of the Tomei.
That's a bigger Kiddush.
According to the sages, the Tomei never departs. In other words, they hold that we're talking about a beverage.
Right.
It never departs because it never becomes ois roi lachilas behema because a bird and a cow will always drink it, so it'll never lose its tumah.
But a food that becomes decayed stops becoming tumah.
loses its status of Tumah.
When it becomes Yisroel Lachilas Kalev. Yeah. Okay, so that's those are two different shittas. Now, we have, now this is a qualification. This is another thing. Here we have a very interesting thing. Let's just speak this out first. If I told you that Rabbi Lazar holds, if you have a mashka that's roi l'shesiyas adam, and then it becomes tamei, and then it becomes ois roi l'achilas adam, and I told you that's tahar, according to Rabbi Lazar. So what would you? It becomes ois roi l'achilas adam. It goes down to below roi l'achilas adam, and I told you that Rabbi Lazar's shita is that it's no longer going to be tummy any longer, right? That if I gave you that as a given, and then I asked you a question, if I had a mashka that was saruach meikaro, what would he hold?
Certainly, you should hold it.
Then right. That's what I would have said. Marach, if it was tummy before and becomes saruach, it's the tumah goes off of it. Kol shekain, if it's saruach meikaro, then it should not be makabel tumah. The what we're going to see now is we're going to have a brisa that says that he holds if saruach meikaro it is makabel tumah, and the reason is exactly what you basically you instinctively understood this, that there's a difference. This is in 9. Rabbi Elazar maintains, even though I read the Gemara, learn 9 first. Rabbi Elazar maintains that Rabbi Eliezer differentiates between beverages that were once roi l'shesiya but now become spoiled, which are not subject to Tumah, and those that were spoiled from the start, which are subject to Tumah. What's the difference? In the first case, they had undergone a change. There's a change in the mashka. It had changed from being at one point roi, and then became ois roi. Because of that change, it can change its status for Tumah. But where something is basically, as far as the re'iyah, la'achila is concerned, shia, it hasn't changed, so that's going to remain roi l'achilas, right? That's basically what he says.
When the mashkim are not roi to drink anymore, so then they cannot be mekabel tumah.
Let's say that way. Yeah, you could say that, but if it's not roi from the get go, then it is roi l'achilas. It is roi l'achilas.
Right.
It's a little kind of strange thing. Okay, that's what it says. Havai b'shem Rav Lazar, mayn Rav Lazar l'chacham v'mashka suach meikaro, shu tamei. Okay? So Asher Yishah, again, so Asher Yishah says is what he's focused on. What is it say? Matamon Asher Yishah says, prat l'mashka suach. Okay, so that's what we're going to learn now. So Hasninon, in fact, the Gemara, we have a problem. Now you're saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds what? That if it's Saruach Meikaro, that it is Tomei. But we're going to quote a thing, a Mishnah now, that's going to say explicitly, an example, where Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that something which is Saruach Meikaro is going to be Tahar. And that'll be a stira, okay? And this is the stira. They're talking.
Maybe it depends on the act.
Well, let's take a look. So this is talking about. Oh, we're going to call it, well, let's just talk about olive oil for a second. There are three stages of the non-oil component of the olives. So the oil component of the olives is obviously when you have all the olives and they're pressed down and they give out their
oil.
I'm not talking about that at all. Okay? There are three other stages besides that core stage, which we're going to call olive water. One is at the very beginning when they're put all together and in like a pile, and they kind of like heat, they generate a little heat, and some liquid comes out, starts seeping out.
This is before oil.
The first two stages I'm describing are before the actual press. So before oil, before the press is, when I say press, that's oil. two stages before. So we have the first initial stage they're piled on. And then what happens is it's an 11. He talks about it. Let's look at inside. Process is three distinct types. Okay, next page. The olives are first placed in large vat, and then they cause them to generate heat, and they ripen. At that point, they exude liquid. Okay? After they spent several days in the vat, they're weighed upon one another. They're becoming heavier, I guess, as they ripen. That causes them to draw even a more viscous fluid, nearly similar to olive oil. Okay? Now, they haven't been pressed yet. So that's the second phase. The third phase that I'm talking about is after they're pressed for the oil, then again they're left and they have some leakage that comes post the pressing that comes out of it. We're talking now about zasim. We're talking about the second stage, stage two.
So it's a clear, like, so water.
It's kind of, it says it's kind of
is
like...
It says nearly
similar to actual olive oil is what the English says. It's interesting. Stage two. In other words, stage one, it's really watery. Stage two,
it's a little watery.
Stage two, it's a little oily. Okay, so let's see what it says. Now, apparently, this is not Roy Lakilas Adam. So, Hasnina. Hamayel ha-yaitzimhem. The olive water that emerges from them.
What? How could it not be Roy Lakilas?
That's going to be the reason here.
I think it's waste. Let's take a look.
I'm continuing the Gemara now again. 101A1 at the bottom of the page. Hasninon, correct the Gemara. Shaila from the Mishnah. If you have olive water, Rabbi Eliezer Matar, he holds it's tahar, and the Chachamim Matam, they hold it's tameh. Rabbi Lazar,
are we talking about the first or the second thing?
Second one. The English says we're talking about stage two. That second paragraph at the bottom of the page, in footnote 11, the olive oil under discussion is the second type, which emerges before the pressing after they spent several days in the vat. Okay? So let's see. Rabbi Lazar excludes the beverage because it's unfit for human consumption. What? That's what it says here. Although it was spoiled from the start, because it's the first thing that came out of the olives, it never had any other status, right? He still rules it's exempt from tumah. That's the stira. How could you say that he held, before we just said that it's made kara, it's a ruach made kara, that it's tumah? Here he says clearly it's a ruach made kara by the mezesim. He says it's tar. That's the stira. Yeah?
What case? Case where he said it's
tummy.
What was the food? The previous case. The Gemara before said the Chavraya b'Shem Rabbi Lazar said Maida Rabbi Eliezer l'Chachamim b'Mashke Sarach Meikaro Shahu Tameh. Yeah, so what's an example of that mashke there that is tameh as opposed to the one by the olive here, which is tahar?
What's an example?
Yeah.
Mea Yama Gadol. The water of the ocean is
Hold on a second. No. Don't jump in that terrace. That's going to be a problem.
Why?
There he holds his tameh. He holds his tummy. Yeah, the Gemara is going to say, I don't want to. That's a special Xeris HaKasa. He says in the bottom in footnote 8, he says on that an example of Sarach Mei Karo is olive water that oozes from olives after a few days in the vat. So he actually is using our example as an example of Sarach Mei Karo. This is a classic example. So before we said Sarach Mei Karo is Tameh, now we're saying Sarach Mei Karo is Tar.
Not only that, but we're saying it about the same liquid.
And it's the same fluid. It's a stira.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Gemara answers. Okay. Does the Gemara answer it? No, the Gemara really doesn't answer this question.
Is your Shami?
I don't think he's going to answer it. This is another qualification. I didn't see this as an answer. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Meidah Rabbi Elazar l'chachamim b'mei yam ha-gadol, that if you're talking about the waters of the Great Sea, which over here, Great Sea refers to kindness. That's what they say. It doesn't, it's not, sometimes it can refer to the Mediterranean, but here it refers to
all seas,
which is basically, it doesn't really make a big difference. It's salt water, right? Shafilo ain't sruchen, even though they're spoiled from the start, they're still subject to Tumah. Ha-Torah calls them ayim. The Torah calls them ayim. L'mikveh ha-mayim kar yamim. The gathering of the waters he called sea. So you see, the Torah calls it, even though it's not Reil Achila. Anybody knows from reading, you know, the Reader's Digest stories of the people who are in the sea and they're floating out there waiting to be rescued, that they knew if you're going to drink the salt water, you'll become delirious and you'll jump into the sea and you'll be eaten by sharks. That's what it says. So we know. We know, yeah. You gotta put in your, you gotta filter it and boil it, and yeah, all kinds of equipment that I'm sure you have with you, readily available in your sea, in your shipwreck. Okay. So, but the Gemara doesn't really answer the question. It asked us Shiloh, right? We had a stira on Saruch Meikaro, and the Gemara doesn't really answer the question. It slugs it up. I think it slugs it up. Okay. Now. Remember, we said that Rabbi Elazar holds all beverages are subject to Tumah. And now we have another exception. Rabbi Yaakov bar Zalmi b'shem Rabbi Avu, Mad Rabbi Elazar l'chachamim, b'mei tronim, b'mei shlokos, she'eino machshirin. When it comes to cooked beets and the water of other cooked vegetables, so they're not machshir. In other words, even though I make my wife just made me a delicious vegetable soup with knedlach, it was delicious. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll invite you over next time.
Lima beans?
No lima beans. No lima. Please, no lima beans. So the water becomes saturated with the taste of the sweet potatoes and the carrots and the onions and all the other delicious vegetables. The water loses its shem mayim.
That's why you make hatoma.
Oh, the footnote points that out as well. The point is that mashkim or melazer or mimayda, that is not makam tomo. It loses its shame mashkim.
Oh, interesting. Wait, okay.
In 19, you'll see it in the second paragraph in the brackets, supported by the fact that the blessing resided over water in which one cooked vegetables, i.e., vegetable soup.
So even the liquid is adama?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Sure. Avana.
No.
The Mishnah Berurah says if you make knedlach soup,
right,
that you make on the water of Boreim in the Amazonas.
What soup?
Knedlach soup.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's Amazonas,
and if you have a soup,
that's right. Everybody agrees with me on that, doesn't
it? What's that in? Do you know?
I don't know.
If you find it,
I would say in the Rashi someplace. I don't know exactly where it is. Okay.
I do on the vegetables in a vegetable soup because they're nikar, you say bori pri adama, but on the liquid, mechitesi.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Absolutely.
So if you just ate the liquid.
If you filtered out the vegetables
and just drank the liquid, you
make the
bori
pri adama. Absolutely. No shaila about it.
No, that's different already.
No, I'm talking about if you took
then it's shahakol. Then it's shahakol. If you blend the soup into a liquid, it's shahakol then. Right?
If you put it in a blender and you liquefy it.
And you liquefy it, then it's shahakol. Only if there's nikar,
sure.
Only if there's Europe,
sure.
Is then
not sure
nikar.
If you're right. I'm not sure if you're right. I don't know. Listen up. People are making hadoma potato kugel, right?
It depends on if it's blended or if it's nikar.
That's a shaila if you use shredded potatoes, that you can still see the potatoes.
Right.
If I do it the way I do it in my house, I take a potato and I put it by hand. I ribe it down on the metal riber.
I grade it up
on the fine side, not the rough side, the fine side. It's complete fluid before
and
we
then
put.
Then it's a shackle. It's not a hadoma.
You're sure about that?
I believe so. I will look into it, but I remember seeing that.
depending on also if you get a little blood from the knuckles.
And the blood of the knuckles makes it extra, extra tasty. Okay, next. Lamana Chacham Shomer Mashma said they didn't.
But do invite me for.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lamana Chacham Shomer Mashma. So it says.
Where are you?
I'm on 101A2, on the second column. The Mishnah stated in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. He disagreed with him. He said, what are you talking about? The Shema Mashkin is Shema Mashkin. It's not a random sampling. They're not Reichlim over here. And now the Gemara is going to expand on his argument. If someone were to tell you that there are eight of them, you could easily refute that argument by saying like this. Look what they have in the list. They have Mayim and they have Tal, right? That's the same thing. Tal is water. And Mayim is water, but yet Chachamim went out of the way and counted them as separate, distinct categories of part of the seven. So you see, they're being makpid, they're being very, very careful to tell me these are the seven, none other. Okay? Tal, Mayim, Manoatza, Chacham, Shnayim, Ilah, Havalon, Choron, if we'd have others, right? Lamanunue, would we not have counted it? Surely we would have. So there must be, there are no others. That's the argument. Does that make sense, an argument?
Yeah.
Okay, we're on 101, 2, B. Kafal Home Base, we're talking Hebrew. Next Mishnah, Halacha Gimel. Okay, this is very interesting, this Mishnah. Enos and Tamar Dvash. If you have Truma, right, or Maaser Shein, we're going to assume now that there's an Isser Hefsed, both on Truma and on Maaser Sheni, you can't take dates and make them into honey. Because guess what? You've taken it down a step. It was a fruit, and now it's a mashka, right?
Yeah, even though it might be more expensive.
The bracha changes, right?
And the bracha might change also, obviously. Well, honey would be shahako, yeah. Velo tapoch and yayin, you can't make apples into cider. Now, lots of Savanias comets, and you can't make winter grapes into vinegar, charcoal, Paris, and all other fruits also, and Bashanas Miyasin, can't change them from the natural state, can't take oranges, make them into orange juice. The Truma Maaser Sheni, by both Truma Maaser Sheni, except for two exceptions, say some Vahana Vimbavai. Now, here you have to speak out something, right? Is our Mishnah like Rebbe Eliezer from before? Or is Rebbe Eliezer going to be maskim to this Mishnah? Or is he going to be chaluk on this Mishnah? Right, we just got finished with the machlokas of Elazar and Yeshua. Right, if a person eats peiros b'shogeg, is he chayav kerem b'chaimesh? So Rabbi Elazar said yeah. Rabbi Elazar said yeah, because he held mashke was what, like the peiri. So why would the Mishnah now tell me that I can't take tamarim and make it into dvash? Don't you see?
The
Rabbi Elazar that's a zelba kizach. So, this is a big shaila. So, in the footnote, that there are two views, of course. There's a machlokas. I mean, we could just quickly just say that it's a machlokas mafarshim and move on. Will that suffice? Okay. The first, in the third paragraph, he brings down that this is not only according to Rabbi Yeshua, but also according to Rabbi Eliezer. And why is it different? Because even though it's regarded as fruit, but it's he says a little further down, he still agrees that Truma and Maaser Sheni fruit may not be made into juice. Notwithstanding its legal status as food, the juice represents a significant change from the fruit's natural state. And such a complete transformation from food to beverage represents a destruction. Okay, so that's a problem of Hefsa. That's the first shot.
Does anybody argue on that?
Yes. There's another view.
So
how?
Why doesn't the Mishnah bring down the machlokas?
I don't know. I'll tell you why, because this is a classic example of a machlokas from Hakat Stam. Well, you had a machlokas before, or you had a Rebbe Yeshua other machlokas. And then followed by that machlokas will be a Stam Mishnah.
So
this will be the Stam Mishnah like Rebbe Yeshua.
Is it going to be the right Rabbi Yehuda?
That halacha is not going to be sure, correct. This is Samachach Machlekes according to that. Okay, so, and that's what it says over there. There's another view that it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, blah, blah, blah. This is the Kiryas Sefer to Rambam. Anyway, okay, so let's just leave it like that. Machlekes. Why is Esav and Anav different? Because that's the Pasuk. The Pasuk itself says when you take Truma, you give tears for Yitzhar. So the Pasuk has already qualified wine and oil as being a different category.
It's probably the only liquid that's more chashuv than the pre itself.
Probably.
Grapes and olives.
Wine. Grapes and olives.
Wine.
Right, grapes and olives. That's correct. What I'm saying. The only two liquids that are
now, another difference. Ein Sofkin, in other words, another difference between olives and grapes and everything else is if you had an Arla, right, the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the Arla. It's also b'hano. If someone eats Arla, he's chayav malchus. So, Ein Sofkin, Arboim, Mishum Arla, Ela Al HaYetzim, HaZetzim, HaNavim. In other words, if I have an apple, which was Arla, squeezed it out and drank the juice, I don't get malchus. If I have a grape and I squeeze it out and drink the juice, I do get malchus. That'll be an exception.
The Orla is not only on the Shiva Minim, but it's on any fruits?
Any fruit, yeah.
And also outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Is it the Raisa? Let me just check this real quick. I think he talked
outside
about
it. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, I think it's the Rabbana.
No. I'm talking about other juices. Just 1 second. I want to reserve.
Oh yeah.
I want to reserve on whether that's a din d'oraisa.
You can't.
That was a long time ago. I asked that question. When I moved in.
There is no. It says it right here.
Pear tree in my backyard. So.
It says in the second paragraph under four.
Sure,
the Mishnah teaches the juice of meat, most oil or fruit does not share the law of the fruit itself. This juice is not prohibited under biblical law. Thus, its consumption is not punished with lashes. The only fruit juice that is biblically prohibited is that which derives from grapes and olives. Yeah, so let me just make this clear. He's saying the juice is the only juice which is biblically prohibited. But the parent fruit is certainly biblically prohibited in every case. I think that's true. What Rash are you referring to?
The Rash that holds that Rebbe Eliezer is mited to the first Rashi of the Mishnah. If that's true,
yeah.
Then why would it? If that's true, why wouldn't it be spoken out? I mean, he's not mited to the second part of the Mishnah. That's for sure, Rebbe Eliezer. There's no question about that. How can you have it where he's
They all want to hear Abe. They all want to hear you better.
No, you understand what I'm saying? It's okay.
He's asking Akasha. I'm going to say over what he said. So he's asking Akasha. He's saying that to say that Rabbi Lazar is Maida. You're saying if you hold it, he's Maida to the ratio of the Mishnah that you're not allowed to make it into fruit juice.
The right.
Then he doesn't understand why. He would hold that in the case of Arla?
I mean, it's clear, and that's in that footnote 4. It's clear he's not mited to the second, to the Sefer, to the Metzia commission, to Yosef.
Yeah.
So you have a very funny thing. So he's mited to the first, not mited to the second, doesn't speak it out.
The sheetahs of the Mishnah are waffling whether in the cases where he does
like
agree.
You said it clearly. It's stam. It's machlokes va'achakach stam.
Right.
And the reisha and the sefer is Rabbi Yeshua.
Right.
Okay.
That's a simple way to read the Mishnah. That's right.
How do you read the Mishnah that the reisha is kuli alma and the second and the Mishnah doesn't say anything? It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Okay, good. I hear. Good. So basically,
Gordon is helping.
I said,
other people that speak on the thing, I can hear. Yeah, Gordon is.
I have my back. Tell him my computer doesn't work well.
His computer doesn't work well.
Something get close to
and your hearing also doesn't work well.
That could be.
And basically we're going to just leave it at that. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah,
okay. Sorry. So Mishum Orla again, footnote says that it's not coming out like the Lazar, it's like a Yeshua. Maybe Bikurim Mashkin. You can't bring beverages as Bikurim. Bikurim, you have to bring fruit. You walk in with your, you know, that visualization you have of a person coming with it, the shor endowed with fruit on its head, and it's really something.
Only
that
would.
You
can have pouches. You can have pouches of olive oil.
So that is a big question. That is a big question over here. The question is like this. I'll tell you what the problem is.
Grapes and
just wine, a second. One second.
Wine and just, olive oil you can bring as bikurim.
Yeah. I don't know where he's going to bring. I thought I saw I thought he raised this as a problem here.
Because korban on his back, you can bring shemen and yain. But
it's going to come. It's going to come in later.
But also nisuch hamayim. You do nisuch hamayim on sukkahs.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that yet. Okay, so the only things you can bring as bikurim is olives or grapes. I think we're going to come out later that it's going to be that you can't bring, they actually made an issue that you can't bring it that way. And when the Mishnah says that you can, the Gemara is going to speak all this out. That's an reshus of the Kohen. In other words, after I give the grapes, they made a takona, they only want fresh fruit coming up. They don't want oil and olives, oil and wine. So you're going to bring the grapes and you're going to bring the olives. You're going to give it to the Kohen. The Kohen is then going to go ahead and convert the grapes into wine. So when this Mishnah says that you can only bring Bikur Mashkin, it's talking about after it gets to the Rishus of the Kohen. Okay.
But Bikur comes also from some other fruits also.
The fruits should stop from Eretz Yisrael. Anyone tell me Mishnah Mashka, and fruit juice does not convey tuma as a beverage. Allah yes, and I say some man oven. Again, that's clearly not going to be like Rav Lazar. you can't bring it on the mizbeach. No fruit juice is going on the altar. Allah yes, and I say some man oven. So when we're talking about grapes, right? So what's the example here? So olive oil is an ingredient in the carbon mincha, right? That goes on. And wine is, of course, used in the nisuf hayayin on the mizbeach. Yeah, we're talking about as opposed to fruit juices. Obviously, water is used in nisuf hamayim, but we're not talking about mayim. Uksei te'enu megregos ha'chlosim ha'charuv v'shal truma asurim lezarim. So if you have stems of figs, dried figs, chlosim, which are a type of fig. These are all types of figs. Or carobs. So they cannot be eaten by zarim. In other words, they're considered edible. I mean, just picture in your mind a fig. You know, if you remember, if you had fresh figs on Rosh Hashanah, I did. It's got a nice, fresh, soft fig. The only part of it which was really not edible was the very, very top of it. It was like eights. But the stem of it, that where it touches, the fruit is very soft. When I ate it, I ate the whole thing like a deer. I was just like a deer. Okay, next. What are we all talking about? Rabbi Elbashem Rav Lazar. Kenu Asisa. This is what our Mishnah means. Eino Yisim Bikurim Mashkin. It means you can't make it into a mashkin. Al Hayisim Asisim Anan Novim. Afilu Mishazachim Hem Bailim. Even after the eventual owner is Zolche and the fruits, the Kohen, he cannot convert it. The Mishnah means when you first bring it, because there's a Mishnah Chala, which we're being resolving here. I kind of skipped over it. The English explains that the Gemara is trying to explain a stira from a Mishnah in Chala, because the Mishnah Chala says, blah, 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 where is it? It's 10, number 10. Here it is, 4-5. There's an incident of Yosef the Kohen. He brought Bikurim in the form of wine and oil, and they didn't allow him to offer it up. That contradicts our Mishnah. So the answer is this distinction that I told you about already. Okay, next. Hatani darach bikurim mashkin lahavion. That if you, it says beferish in the Brisa, if you pressed Bikurim, grapes and olives, into a beverage. Minayin shiyavi, how do you know you're supposed to bring them? Gemara says, Talmud Leimar, Brisa says, Tavi, you will bring them. So there's a special riboy that contradicts the Mishnah and the Chala. So Gemara says, Talmud Mishalokta Mishari Shainoman Asking. So Gemara says, it depends when you collected the grapes originally. If when you originally collected, you picked the grapes you had in mind to convert them into wine and then to bring them as Bikurim, so then you could do it. Bram Hocha, but the Mishnah and Chala, you didn't do it originally with that condition, that intention. So once you're saying this answer to Shaila, you don't need to come on to the previous answer. So that's a Shaila, whether that the previous answer falls away completely or not. It's Lekhaira, it falls away completely, because you see you can bring it if it's with that intention. Next, you can convert grapes into oil or wine. That's the biblical law. Now, what about rabbinically? Zaysim, no, we're on 101 before. Zaysim shal truma tahir miyasu shemen. This is going to be a little complicated because there are going to be three or four different opinions here. So trying to hulk up here.
Great.
Sorry about that. And you have to keep track of two things. We're going to, just to give you an introduction here, we're going to be keeping track of two foods, Yayin and Shemen, and then we're going to have to keep track of whether it's Tameh or Tahar. So these are two variables within two fluids, and you're going to have every kind of combination here. That's what makes it so much fun to learn this.
Tameh Tahar.
Here we go.
A chart here.
Did they give you a chart?
No.
I don't understand this.
No, they don't. Yeah.
This was, I will be the first one to say, this was chartable and should have had a chart. And I don't understand why they didn't do it. Okay. Maybe we'll make, why doesn't somebody here in a share take the job? Hey, let's have it. One of you guys take the task, make a table in Word, and fill out the box with all this stuff. Okay, you need three.
Sam's going to learn how to use Word.
Okay. Zaysim shal truma. Tahirim. If the olives are tahar, yeyasu shemen, they can be made into oil. Tameim, but if they're tamei, lo yeyasu, you can't make them into oil. What's the problem? You might come to consume them. That's always going to be the chash. You're going to forget that it's tamei and eat it. So we don't let you make it into oil if it's tamei. Va'anovim, but grapes, then it doesn't make a difference between tamei and taharis, lo yeyasu. You shouldn't make it into wine, regardless. Whether the tar, whether the tummy, you should not make them into wine. Divrei Meir. What's the shot in that? That's a drabonim? What does that mean? It's prohibited to press contaminated grapes. We get that. What about tahar? It's certainly, it's a pasuk. It's certainly permitted. Let's look at 24 in the brackets. It's certainly permitted biblically to press them for the wine. The Torah teaches primary truma obligation regarding wine, not grapes. It's clearly permitted. Nevertheless, the Meir rules that tahar grapes may not be pressed. The reasoning behind this will be presented in the Gemara below, on 102a. Okay. You know, this kind of contradicts the famous Taz.
102a?
Yeah, well, that'll come next. The Taz says that if something is befavorish in the pasuk, right? The Torah says, "Vayom Hashmini Yimol B'sar Alaso." So the Chachamim can't come along and say, "Oh, on Shabbos we're not going to allow Mila because of Shah Shema Yavo." You know, maybe you'll come to carry it. Tell it on with Rishon Rabbah because it's a Beferish Pasuk. Vayom Hashmini Yimol B'sar Alaso if you have a Shabbos, and you can't make Zeras on something which is Beferish Pasuk. That's the famous Yisod of the Taz. I think it's in other places besides the Taz, but everybody likes to quote the Taz. Here you have a Pasuk. A pasuk that says that wine is truma, and you're going to tell me the chachamim came along and said they can't make it. They can't make it into. It's going to be a steer to the Taz. I think
you're not getting rid of the whole etzim thing. The guy can still eat them as grapes. So you're not.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to tell you though is if the pasuk says befeirish that I can bring truma as wine, so you can't tell me that I can't. Because that's going against the pasuk. Okay? Just like Yom HaShmini Yom HaPasam HaLoso. I'm not getting rid of Mila. You could do it the next day. If the eighth day doesn't come out on Shabbos, you could do it all those other days. If it comes out on Shabbos, so you do it on Sunday. I'm not getting rid of it. Doesn't matter. If you have one clear heter in the pasuk, you can't go against it.
Where's the pasuk? Which pasuk says you can bring?
Tirshri Yitzhar. The pasuk by Truma. You want me to tell you the pasuk by Truma? I'm afraid I can't do that.
Which pasuk are you talking
about? Let me just go back to the beginning of the Masechta. Hold on a second. Beginning. I think they quote Pesukim in the very beginning here in the Hagdama, no?
Yes.
I think quote Pesukim. Those who are listening to the recording, I beg your pardon for the delay, but someone's asking a question and I can't find it right now. Okay?
This is volume 2, right?
Yeah, it's in the first volume probably.
Pause.
No, I'm not going to pause right now. Okay, there's a pasuk in favor. It's in the pasuk. Now, we're on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. So the first shita was a Meir shita, now we're going to give another shita. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov, I'm a Mishmo. Now, Rabbi Yaakov is going to be quoting Rabbi Meir. Lo nechelko Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, al-zeisim taharim she'yei osim. That if it's tar, olives, no problem. Amma nechelko, where is there going to be machlokes? Al-hatameim. If it's Tomei, Rabbi Lazar says, Le Yeyasu, you cannot do it. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Yeyasu, they can be done. Okay? Now here it's a little bit strange, it's a little bit Ibcha in the Stavra, but whatever it is. Again, we're going to assume, let's assume for the time being that it's a problem of, again, that they're going to come to Edom. Rabbi Yaakov says, Vadnovim, what about grapes? Tahiris Yasu, they agree that if it's tar, you can make it into wine. Tameyos la Yasu, you cannot make it into wine. Both agree in that case. There's no machlokas there. So only machlokas, according to Rabbi Yaakov, is by Zaysen that are Tomei. Rabbi Lazar holds you can't. Rabbi Yeshua says you can. Okay, everything else is Mutar. Amar Rabbi Yudon, here's the third opinion. Maid Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Zaysen Tahirim Shay Yasu, that if it's tar, that they can be done. So far, so good. It's just like Rabbi Yaakov. Aha Tameyim, Rabbi Eliezer says, Lo Yasu, Rabbi Yeshua, Mele Yasu. Again, that's like the previous one. Rabbi Yaakov, right? It's exactly the same so far. Anovim, here's where it becomes a little different. Before we said Anovim, Tahiris Yasu, Tameyos, Lo Yasu. Here he says, Bein Tahiris, Bein Tameyos, Yasu. Regardless, you could do it. Okay? And now a final opinion. I'm a Rebbe, my Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yeshua, Bezesim, Tahirim, Sheyasu. That if it's Tar, you can do it. Anovim, Tameyos, Bezesim, Tameyim, Shalayasu. If it's Tar, everybody holds you can. If it's Tamei, Anovim, and Zesim, Tameyim, that you cannot, Shalayasu. And where's the Machlakis? Anovim, Tahiris. What if it's grapes that are Tar? That'll be the place. Rabbi Lazar says, Lo Yasu, Rabbi Yeshua says, Yasu. So there you have the four shitas. Okay. Now, Kolama, Rabbi, and Arad, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Abdar, Shin Yasu. Everyone, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yudim, and Rabbi, dispute Rabbi Meir. They're saying that Truma Tahira could be made into, that grape, Anavim Tahiras can be made into wine. Lomo Mele Yasu, why does Rabbi Meir say you can't do it? Kashuvas Hein Lo'echel Yasin Amashka. Because Rabbi Meir held that grapes as a fruit are more chashuv, and therefore pressing them would be being over the a problem of trum. Correct. So that's one outlier, so to speak.
Yeah. Now it's the opposite. Wine is much more chashuv than stam anavim.
Yeah.
It's
contradicted by the pasuk. That's the main problem I have with this.
It's also contradicted by the Bavli. He says at the bottom of the
page. Yeah, the Bavli, he says that it says Shtanu Yaleluya. It says on the bottom there. If you look all the way to the bottom of the page.
That's what Dov is saying.
Yeah. What Dov was saying in terms of the modern day society, I think he was saying, not because of the Bavli. Okay, we have a lot of problems with this with Meir. Let's just leave it alone for now. Everybody argues on him, so I'm not going to worry about it. Everyone disputes Rabbi Yehuda by saying that grapes that are tome cannot be made into wine because you might inadvertently transgress and eat them. Why does he say they can be made into wine? Very interesting svara, that since that when you get rid of the fruit part of it and you squeeze all the fruit and juices out of it, you'll be left with the twigs and the stems. Those can be used as firewood, and so therefore, when you press them, you'll have better firewood. So he allows it for that reason. Zaysen Tumeim, Rabbi Meir Chad, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda Chad. So you have the Yerushalmi is basically making your chart for you. So Rabbi and Rabbi Meir are going to hang on the one hand, say it cannot be made into oil, and Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda hold that it could be made into oil. If it's Zaysen Tumeim. So how should we rule? We have a machloikas, and it's an even number on both stadim. So how should you rule? So the Gemara doesn't answer it, of course. In 12, it says the shloim should be a sveikah derabbanan lahakel, because all these kshashas are only derabbanans. However, if you look at Rash Cyril, footnote 12, he says he should say sveikah derabbanan lahakel. Okay, Rosh Cyril quotes the Rambam over here. He
says not to.
Yeah, the Rambam says it. Yeah, he brings it's in the Rosh Cyril. If you want to see in the second column, in the second column in Rosh Cyril, about halfway down, pasuk Rambam. Zaysim Tameim, Va'anovim Tameim, Dorchon Pachas Mikaveit. Okay, so that's the way he rules. Next, Rab Zeiro, B'Shem Rab Lazar, Omar.
Dorchon Pachas Mikaveit.
That's what he says.
What does that mean?
It means you squeeze them in small amounts so that you don't have tumma.
You shouldn't have so much liquid.
Right. The Mishnah is talking about the stems are embedded in the food. This section is soft and deemed the food, so therefore it's also to zarim. But the part of the stem that protrudes from the fruit is hard, and that's a bit of wood, that should be mutter. Then the Gemara says a general statement about the teachings of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira called the Trumas of Taharas Shmuel B'Shem Rabbi Lazar. Whenever Rav Zeira is quoted in all of Masechtas Trumas or in Taharas, you should know he's quoting Rav Elazar because he learned by Rav Elazar. So I saw in the State Sofer, my Sefer, he brings down, so you see clear from here that there was a Yerushalmi on Taharas. So clear over here, right? Very interesting observation. Okay, next. You know, I never split up this recording.
Split it down.
Should I split it here? I think I'll split it here. Just one second, please.